I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, the Assange rape case has been dropped in Sweden. Is this good or bad? Get into it.
Well, I think it's probably inevitable and in some ways bad. I say bad because, of course, what the agenda has always been, and I'm going to insist on this, it has always been to try to get Julian Assange to the United States. Sweden dropping this rape case now clears the decks for the US authorities and the British authorities to press ahead with the extradition case in the which will eventually take Assange to the United States. So in a sense, I think it's bad, but in another sense, I suppose we must also say that it's good because it finally closes this chapter on these Swedish allegations, these rape allegations. It's important we stress they are only allegations. They've never been made into formal charges, which has clouded the story of Assange ever since they were first brought back in 2010, and which have made his whole legal battles and his life so incredibly complicated.
All right, Alexander, let me read you an excerpt from RT and you can comment on it. Swedish prosecutors will not pursue their rape investigation of WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange any further. They announced having successfully fulfilled their role in the year's long scheme to put Assange behind bars. Investigators determined the evidence was simply not strong enough to support an indictment, Deputy Chief Prosecutor Eva Marie Persson told a press conference on Tuesday. Interviewing Julian Assange regarding the case would not change this assessment, she said. And I quote Alexander, the reason for this decision is that the evidence has weakened considerably due to the long period of time that has elapsed since the events in question. You mentioned two scenarios, Alexander. One, that it does help Assange in the sense that it finally puts to bed these allegations that have haunted him for, I would say, probably a decade or so now. On the flip side, it does clear the deck to extradite him to the U.S. Which one do you think is the more likely scenario? It seems to me that this prosecutor may be hinting that this clears the way to get him extradited. That's how I'm reading the statement.
I think you're reading it right. Can I just say that is one of the most disgraceful statements any prosecutor has ever made. Firstly, there is no need to re-interview Julian Assange. He gave a detailed interview to the Swedish prosecutor in November 2016 when he was still in the Ecuadorian embassy. The Swedish prosecutor had consistently claimed up till then that she could not interview him in the embassy or in Britain and that he had to be brought to Sweden in order for him to be interviewed there. In fact, as we saw, she did interview him in the embassy, in the Ecuadorian embassy in Britain, after she realized that a Swedish court was actually going to throw out the case, extradition case, the arrest warrant in Sweden because of lack of proportionality, because he was offering to sit for an interview. So he has already been interviewed. That interview, you can find the statement that he provided. I think it's on WikiLeaks' website. It covers every aspect of these rape allegations in detail. It provides a full, detailed, and very comprehensive account of what happened, which is one reason, by the way, why those people who continue to advocate this lie, or rather this story that Assange is a rapist, never refer to it. But if you actually look at that witness statement, it is very difficult for me to see how anybody could ever realistically say that Julian Assange could have been convicted of rape in any court that was conducted in a fair way on the basis of the alleged facts. And last but not least, the Swedish prosecutor has had all the information available to bring charges against Assange if those charges had been well founded for years. She has never done so. And for her to now say that the evidence has weakened in some way, when, as I said, that evidence has been in existence for at least 3 years, and in fact for much longer, is again completely, completely wrong and wholly inappropriate. And can I lastly say how completely inappropriate it is for a prosecutor to make a statement in this form anyway? If a person is charged or not charged, if a decision is taken not to charge someone, the very last thing a prosecutor should do is go around and say, well, the evidence against him was once upon a time very convincing, but it isn't any longer. Because that trashes his reputation at a time when he is still entitled to the presumption of innocence. I say still entitled. He is absolutely entitled to the presumption of innocence at every point, right up to the moment when he is convicted after a trial carried out in accordance with due process by a court of law. A prosecutor should never be saying things like that which might cast doubt on Assange's innocence. That is a wholly inappropriate thing for a prosecutor to do. I'm sorry to say this, but this statement is part of this ongoing campaign we have seen the Swedish authorities engage in which they have trashed Julian Assange's reputation in a case which, frankly, should never even have been considered. The very first Swedish prosecutor to look at this actually said that she couldn't even see what possible crime there was from the facts that had been presented then. So they have been trashing his reputation, and they've never had the courage or the conviction or the evidence or the facts to press formal charges. It is disgraceful, it is wrong, and unfortunately it has done huge damage.
Yeah, the way Sweden has acted from the very beginning with this Alexander has been disgraceful, yeah. I think. It's just such a blotch on the country of Sweden, the way they've treated Assange and they've gone after Assange. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I even to small facts, like the fact that one of the police officers who was investigating Assange was a personal friend of one of the two women who Julian Assange is supposed to have assaulted. I mean, that is a kind of connection that, by definition, almost creates a conflict of interest. And I mean, this same police officer, by the way, it apparently changed unilaterally the contents of the state's statement of one of the two women. And the original statement that woman gave has apparently been destroyed. And what we have learned is that that woman did not actually want to bring a rape allegation against Julian Assange. All she wanted was for him to have an HIV test. So, I mean, the whole thing is just... to say the due process broke down in Sweden is a massive understatement. The whole thing, from start to finish, has been a disgrace. He's been, as I said, investigated 3 times on these same allegations. The first time, the prosecutor said that there was no crime and no evidence of a crime. The second prosecutor spent, as I said, years refusing to question him in London, when she had every opportunity and every possibility of questioning him. And the third prosecutor is now saying that the evidence has weakened, and even though it's completely credible, implying, as I said, that he is in fact guilty, which is, one, a completely wrong thing to do, and secondly, as I said, it isn't even consistent with the known facts. I mean, this has been a disgraceful episode right the way through.
Alexander, we did a video on the OPCW, which we'll get up. It'll probably go up after this video, to be honest, but we did it yesterday. But I think this video will go up first. But in the OPCW, we highlighted how a lot of these institutions have been corrupted by the deep state, by the neocons, the U.S. war machine.
Yes.
In this case, we've seen Sweden, in my opinion, has been compromised and corrupted by the war machine, by the deep state, in that this whole case was a sham from the get-go in order to bring down Assange. And Sweden played along with it. In other words, they did the bidding of the swamp, in essence, what we now know as the swamp. They did the bidding of the swamp in order to bring down Assange. And now we all know that all of this led to the WikiLeaks, Russia, Trump, Russiagate, Mueller, Ukraine, get all of this has now all been connected. Going back to the election of 2016.
I agree.
Yeah. Is that a fair assumption? That's my question. Is that a fair connecting of dots on my end to say all of this has culminated to even the stupid sham impeachment testimony we're seeing today in Ukraine Gate?
I think it is a fair assumption, and I think it is my assumption. I mean, if you start corrupting legal processes, then of course the whole thing begins to gain a life of its own. No court in this situation can start to be trusted. What you have here is an individual who annoyed certain very powerful people in the United States, and it seems that the Swedes, who have had a reputation for impartial administration of their justice system, went out of the way to assist that process. And you're quite right, they trashed Julian Assange's reputation. They made him seem like a dodgy, corrupt figure, when in fact he was no such thing. And that made it far easier when 2016 came along for all sorts of powerful people in the United States, many of them, of course, the same powerful people who had it in for Assange right from the beginning, to turn around and say, well, you know, this man is dodgy and sleazy and a rapist and a sex abuser, and that must prove that he's actually in bed with the Russians in some way, and this is all part of some sort of Russian plot. So I think there is a direct thread between the way the Swedes behaves and the events that we have seen in Washington, and the way in which WikiLeaks and Julian Assange have been trashed and discredited and attacked throughout the proceedings in Washington. This is my view. So I think it's a fair assumption because it's one I share.
All right. So Hillary Clinton wanted him droned. Mm-hmm. She wanted him essentially assassinated, Alexander.
Well, that's what she said.
Yes. Robert Mueller, as he was trying to, quote unquote, get to the bottom of the Trump-Russia collusion, had multiple opportunities to interview Assange. Mm-hmm. Never interviewed him because...
As the Swedish prosecutor did.
Attorney General Barr has the opportunity to interview Assange and get to the bottom of what happened in Russiagate. Mm-hmm. We have now this whole Epstein thing unfolding where you have a known sex offender, child trafficker, pedophile, who got a slap on the wrist state sentence in Florida and was actually able to go home during his sentence and hang out and abuse more and more children. Someone that was probably in charge or a significant part of running a huge child trafficking ring. God knows how far it spans and how deep it goes, Alexander. We had 20 FBI agents raid Roger Stone's house. And here we have Julian Assange, who's a journalist, just telling the truth, being slow motion murdered. Yeah. In a UK prison. What does this tell you overall as to all this madness that's going on?
Well, indeed. Can I just say something, by the way, before we proceed? I mean, you talked about Barr and Barr being able to speak to Assange. Assange seems to be in a very, very bad state at the moment. At the last hearing, he seemed to have problems even remembering his name. I mean, that is that. And, you know, what his age was. So, you know, I'm not even sure that he's in a position or in a condition at the moment to give much information, because he seems to me to be very, very seriously ill. So, you know, I think we should remember that. But, I mean, as to the points that you made about the fact that we seem to be seeing justice be used in an extremely uneven and, dare I say it, frankly, biased way. Well, if you go to the Central Criminal Court in London, you see that there's a statue there on top of it of Justice, and she's wearing the blindfold because she's supposed to be blind. Her blindness is that she's supposed to be impartial. She doesn't see what people are. She only looks at the crimes and the facts that are alleged against them. What we are now seeing is that this so-called justice that is being applied now is no longer blind. It is choosing, it is picking and choosing between some people who are prosecuted and others who are not. Well, then when that happens, that's not justice anymore. That is selective prosecution, which, if you go back and look at, you know, things like the European Convention of Human Rights and the whole tradition of human rights law, well, that isn't justice at all.
All right. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durand, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below and click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications when we publish a new video. Smash that like button as well. Go to iTunes and SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this show in podcast format. You will find a link in the description box down below. And please donate to us on PayPal, on Patreon, and on Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel reporting. And Alexander, people can also go to BitChute. They can go to Durand Video to get copies of this video, just in case YouTube does some funny business with shows like this one, specifically like this one, where we do talk about Assange and what they considered, and other people who we can't even mention their names. And of course, Alexander, people can also check us out on Telegram, where we post everything. And Telegram's a great platform for free speech. And the Durand Shop, where when you buy merchandise, Alexander, you help us out a whole lot.
Indeed, sir. And can I just say, before we turn to the get to the subject of the merchandise, I mean, these platforms are amazing. And of course, the whole point about the Durand is that we're supposed to be all about free speech and proper analysis. And I know that some of our viewers sometimes have been frustrated by the fact that we haven't been able to cover as thoroughly and as fully as we wanted to certain subjects. Well, we have had to work within certain constraints. Hopefully, these platforms will mean that we are no longer subject to those kind of constraints. So by all means, please go and support us on those platforms. They are marvelous platforms. We are really excited and thrilled by them, and they're developing brilliantly, amazingly, at a speed and a pace that we never imagined. Now, as I said, if you go to Telegram, you'll find references there to our shop. Also, Alex has got all kinds of discounts there and all sorts of wonderful things in our shop. Here I am again with my marvelous Durand magic mug, which I would never be without, certainly not during a program like this when I need constant refreshment. Today, by the way, I'm drinking Queen Anne tea. It's a slightly warmer day, so this is a perfect English, well, Indian tea, I should say, but English style tea, which is perfectly adapted for this kind of weather in England. But you can drink any kind of tea you like from a mug like this. You can also drink coffee, you can drink hot chocolate, you can drink beer, you can drink all sorts of great things, because these are wonderful magic mugs and they will give a magic quality to whatever beverage you put inside them. They will be warm if you want them warm, hot if you want them hot, and they will keep them cool too, because they're perfect porcelain bodies. They're 15 ounces in size. They have these marvelous emblems of them. This is the one of the Russian Federation. You can see it there, same as you will find on Vladimir Putin's mugs. But this is, I think, probably a better mug, even than the one that Putin drinks from. And we don't just have, obviously, our fantastic magic mugs. We have shirts like the one I'm wearing. As I said, it's a fairly coldish day here in London. So you can see this is the long-sleeved T-shirt, but we also have short-sleeved T-shirts. We have V-neck shirts. We have our absolutely amazing and incredibly stylish polo shirts. We have hats. We have stickers. We have hoodies. We've got great and amazing things in our shop, all of them beautifully made. All our shirts are 100% cotton. They all have on them the Duran double-headed eagle, which you can see there. So what's holding you back? Go to our shop, help the Duran, help yourself, own these great things. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Go to thedurantshop.com. You will find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody. Take care.